Hello everybody, good evening.
Hello.
My name is Agnieszka and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Sabrina, for introducing me. Just have to take out my little notes for tonight. I am a bit nervous, because my friend Bonnie asked me, are you nervous? Oh, yes, a little bit. I am. It's just a big group of people, and I always have this thing in my stomach, like, oh my God, what I'm going to say? Is my English good enough?
Yes.
Thank you. So, hi everybody, once again, and I'm Agnieszka, I'm Polish, as you may hear. From my accent and from my name, and I live for 16 years in the Netherlands by now, quite a long time. My son is here with me at this convention. I'm very happy, but he said, no, I'm not going to be sitting in this room because then you will get nervous. So he ran away. Well, you know, when I was thinking, how shall I tell my story tonight? Then I decided to turn it around. Usually it's about the problem and then about the solution, right? First describing how terrible it was and then what happened afterwards. And I'm gonna start with my recovery, just for a change. I am a child of an alcoholic father, who died already 10 years ago, and I grew up along with my mother. And if I could use one word to describe my life before Al-Anon, it would be insanity. And insanity came in different shapes. It came as a mental instability of my mother, but it also affected me very much. And you know, last week, we came back from holidays with my son. We went to Poland to visit my mother. And you know, it was such a beautiful holiday that even now when I'm speaking about it, I feel tears coming to my eyes. And this morning I was speaking to my sponsor, first time after my holiday, and I was crying. And she said, tears of joy, because I'm so happy to have a good relationship with my mother, you know, after all those years. My mother is 75 now, and I don't know how many years we still have together. So I was so happy that I could be there with her and my son. You know, we really had fun. We went hiking in the mountains. My mother is quite fit for her age, so we just went off, you know. We went shopping, and she took care of my son. And I took her to the grave of her parents and my grandparents. And we were just so happy together. And wow, you know, in my wildest dreams, I couldn't really imagine it would ever be possible. But it was. And before going to Poland on this holiday, I was praying to my higher power, please, please, let me accept my mother the way she is and let me love her the way she is right now. And it did, and I could love her and accept her as she was, and it was one of the most beautiful holidays in my life. So please remember this, what I told you right now. Nice holiday in the mountains with my mother, yeah, in recovery. Even my mother is not in recovery, she's still sick. But I could still have a great time with her, you know? Okay. And now let me take you to like more or less 30 years ago, when this convention was being born, right? You said 85, 86? Yeah, late 80s. I was living in Poland with my mother alone because my parents divorced very early. My father was the active alcoholic and he preferred to live with his own parents because they allowed him to drink. But with my mother, it was not so easy, so they just split. So I grew up without father. And I always like to say that it was not so much active alcoholism of my father that affected me, but his absence. He was not there for me, not emotionally, not physically, he couldn't be. And I felt this big hole in my heart, you know? So I was really a classical child of an alcoholic, if you know this kind of description. I had all the traits, you know, low self-esteem, feeling I didn't deserve, feeling unloved, unable to show myself, scared I wouldn't be able to do something like that I'm talking to you right now, to a big group of people. I was really ashamed of attention. And if somebody would like to give me all those things I longed for, like love and attention, I would like, oh no, I would step back, you know? I wasn't able to receive. But I like to give, because I was taught very early that giving and putting others first was the right thing to do. So that's what I would do. I would always do 2 steps back and let you come before me. So in that time I was living with my mother and I was starting to rebel, you know. I couldn't really speak with her, talk with her. There was too much resentment, too much... I wanted to break free, but I didn't know how. And she was trying desperately to keep me with her, you know. So it was like an eternal struggle. I had a boyfriend then and I would sneak away from time to time to his home. Leaving my mother alone, and in this codependent relationship, my mother couldn't probably let me go, so she would try desperately to keep me by with angry outbursts, you know, trying to intimidate me, to control me, but it wasn't working because I was still, you know, trying to break free from that. And yeah, and one night, I remember I wanted to escape to my boyfriend who lived in another town, and my mother wouldn't let me. And she said, no, you stay home. She locked the door, locked me in my room. And when I tried to go out, she would beat me with a telephone cable. But that was not it. She would beat me with a telephone cable, and I would get so scared, I went to the kitchen and took a knife with me. The kitchen knife. And then I was standing in front of her with the kitchen knife, and I was so scared, you know, I was so scared, I was trembling, and I didn't know what would happen, and I got so scared I locked myself up in the bathroom, and my mother would break the glass in the bathroom because she wanted to get me. And I remember I was sitting there, you know, in a fetus position like that on the trembling, and you know, that was the moment I was, I think, most scared in my life ever. And my mother wasn't a drinker, she was not drinking, you know. But my father was the alcoholic, but he was not there. It was the insanity that was in our home. And so sitting there on the bathroom floor, I think it lasted like hours. In the end, I went out because my mother went to her room, and I called the police. You know, I sneaked out, I called the police, and the police came. But my mother didn't open the door. And we were standing on both sides of the door. On one side of the door, the police asking to go in, and on the other side, my mother saying, no, nothing, it's okay, it's fine, we just had a quarrel, it's fine. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't tell them that I was scared of my mother. I don't know what was going on, and that my mother was sick. And because I forgot to tell you already at that time, she has been several times. She has been hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital, and but in the end, she stopped her treatment. And but I was suffering from manic depression episodes. I guess she would be called bipolar these days. But anyway, yeah, the police came. My mother didn't open the door. Eventually they left, and the moment they left, I tell you, I felt so lonely, like I never felt before. And at that time, I somehow lost hope in any help or from the outside of another human being. And well, nothing spectacular happened that night. My mother kind of, her mood went down, because that's how she would be. One moment she would be aggressive and anxious, and another moment she would be depressed and subdued. And we went to bed as if nothing happened. And next morning she would even apologize. But by then I decided, no, I'm gonna run away. I ran away to my boyfriend, who, by the way, turned out he was an active alcoholic. But I didn't see it then. It was just partying. Yeah. What a contrast, eh? With the what I just told you that happened a week ago, that we really had a beautiful holiday with my mother. But that was what happened 30 years ago, you know, when you were starting this convention. I was having all this insanity in my home, and seems almost surreal. It seems like a strange film, but that was how it went. And I would like to tell you that I found Al-Anon straight away, but it was not like that. I went on with my life, struggling very much with myself, unable somehow to find out who I was, what I wanted. I would put on this mask, you know, of a competent, independent woman, normal, but inside I was just a scared, scared little child. And so many years passed by, failed marriage with an addict, changed jobs many times, moved in and out of countries. In the meantime, I went to live to Italy. It didn't work out, and I was feeling basically very unhappy with my life. I had no idea what to do, where to go, even if I was not drinking, but it was still the insanity and the heritage of my alcoholic home that was haunting me, and I couldn't see it. I tried everything, you know. It was the time of New Age movement, so I tried that. I went even to a sect. I tried meditation. I tried a psychologist kind of therapy. It didn't work at all. Yeah, I remember I was living in Poland, and I was blaming my country that I was not feeling good, and I didn't know what to do with myself, so I decided to emigrate. That was my cure, geographical cure. And guess what? I chose the Netherlands. It was a totally accidental choice, because if I would be emigrating now, I think I would choose another country with an easier language. Honestly, it took me 5 years before I really learned it. So then I landed here. And I got in a relationship straight away, and it was like a period of exhilaration. I was really happy, but the landing was hard. When it turned out that my boyfriend was really busy with his job and didn't have so much time for me, and also I couldn't really find my place here. I was feeling really uprooted, because this decision to move, you know, was not really a rational decision based on any logical background. I just wanted to run away from myself, basically, and my family. And no wonder I was feeling out of place. And and then somehow I remember, you know, sitting one night in front of my computer and feeling so lonely, so exhausted, so unhappy. Shall I stay or shall I go? Shall I move back? Shall I stay here? What shall I do? And then something, an angel enlightened me, and I picked up the phone, and I made somehow the link with my alcoholic father, and I called the AA, and I told them about how I felt. And I knew that AA existed, and then they told me, oh, if you feel like that, then why don't you try Al-Anon? And that's how it started. I got into Al-Anon in 2002, but it took me one more year, you know, to really feel what I needed to do, because I didn't have a feeling I really belonged there. Strangely enough, my father was an alcoholic. But it took me a year before I really started seriously to go to meetings and work the steps. I met a lady there at the meetings who told me that going to the meetings was not enough, that you also needed to work the steps. So I started to work the steps with her, and and that's how the journey started. And because the theme of this convention is step by step, I would like to tell you a short story of how it was for me to do the steps. Steps 1, 2, and 3 were actually, I wouldn't say they were easy, but it was a relief, you know, especially step 2. Because step 1 was very obvious, my life was very unmanageable. But step 2 was a relief because finally I could plant myself into something, and that was my higher power. I wasn't particularly religious then, but the concept of something bigger than me gave me hope, you know, because I was feeling so hopeless. And I remember talking to my sponsor about step 2, and then she said, "Do you believe that if you would go on like you were, then it would be either death or insanity?" And I was like struck really in my heart, because I was thinking back about my mother and how her life went, you know. And I said yes, I wanted to believe it. And steps 4 and 5 were actually were good, because finally I got permission, you know, to look at myself that I never thought I deserved it. And so it was good, and also have my sponsor listen to me as I told her about my resentments, my fears, my shame. It felt like a huge, you know, stone falling off my heart or off my shoulders. And what happened next steps was really interesting, because it got me on my knees, it got me humble, you know, because I've seen how arrogant I was and in my self-loathing and being so judgmental towards myself and towards other people. And, so I made my amends in the next steps. And and what was beautiful about step 12 was that it showed me that it was not only about me, finally, but also about the fellowship and other people, and that I could give, you know, what I learned, and to share my experience, strength, and hope, and work with others. And and I told you in the beginning that it's more difficult for me to receive than to give. Well, it's still like that today, a little bit less. But I can be still like that. And so the concept of service and giving has always appealed to me because of that so much. And so the journey through the steps really transformed my life, helped me to see myself in a different way, you know, to see others differently, to change my attitude, self-defeating attitude. Steps told me to focus on me, you know, on my needs, and fulfill them before I could help others. And for somebody like me, for a child from an alcoholic home, it was not something obvious. I really had to consciously learn it, to unlearn many of my old stuff, and to learn new behavior. And even now, after all those years in Al-Anon, and having done the steps many other times, and having worked the steps also in other fellowships, it can still be a challenge sometimes. But you know, my heart grows every time I have an experience like I had 1 week ago in Poland with my mother and with my son, and it gives me really like I feel full of hope, and that everything is possible. You know, if I could I told you that if I could use one word to describe my childhood, that would be insanity. So now, if I could use one word to describe my time in the fellowship, in 12-step programs, it would be hope. Because they gave me hope that I can change. And if I change, then I have a different look at you, at all the other people in my life, and miracles can happen. and miracles with my mother, but also with my son, with all other people who are close to me. And yeah, so I'm so grateful. How much time do I have still? Yeah? Okay, so I would like to share with you one more thing. In this journey towards myself, I'm also discovering my talents and what I like to do and what I don't like to do. And one of the things I like to do is writing. So I'm writing blog, short things, you know. And I also wrote a short poem, which was supposed to be read at another convention, but it got never read there. So I would like to read it now. Yeah. It's short. Okay. The swamp. Standing at the edge of swamp, staring with fear and awe at black waters between thick rows of reed, little girl in rubber boots. Don't ever go in there, it's dangerous, says her uncle. You know people have drowned there. Really? Little girl looks at him in shock. Sure, last year a drunk lost his life here. Sucked down deep in the mud, could not move till it killed him. Come on, let's go. Uncle pulls her hand. Reluctantly, little girl follows him on the way back to the village. Then she turns her head for the first time. The swamp with thick rows of reed. Crows flying high above treetops, cracking ominously and with contempt. What are you doing here, little girl? Go away. Escape the temptation of black waters and swampy mud. Save your soul, save your soul. Little girl awakens as if from a dream. She hurries back to the sunny path where her uncle is waiting. Come on, let's go. It's dinner time. Hand in hand, they walk on the sunny side. Thank you.